Amen. Today, I'm going to talk to you about something that's a bit difficult. There's really not a preacher that I know that likes to talk about suffering. And so I'm going to talk to you about suffering today and what should the most important thing that we're going to talk about is what should be my response. What do I do when I am going through difficulty? I titled this message, "The Best Is Yet to Come." The best is yet to come. Now, I want you to do something for me for just a second. Will you just raise your hand? I want you to just declare something over your life. You're not going to get super spiritual. But I just want you to say, "Lord, I will receive what the Holy Spirit has for me." In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you meant that. I believe that we can learn something from this passage of Scripture. So I'm in Romans 8, verses 18 through 28, which most of us know that last verse. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Let's pray. Oh, dear Jesus, if we ever needed to get your mind on any one subject, it's on this subject. God, I pray, Lord, that as we made that declaration over our lives, that our spirits are open today to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us. God, I pray, the Lord, I am only a conduit. God, I ask that you would speak through me. Let the oracles of God, the wisdom of heaven, flow through me like water through a faucet. God, touch your people. Give them hope today. Ignite their souls and set them on fire for you, Father. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. There's no way around this teaching, folks. It's all through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:12, "All who live godly will suffer persecution." They'll suffer suffering, tribulation. James 1:2 says, "Be of all joy." Take it with joy when you suffer diverse temptations. It's all through Scripture that Scripture teaches us you will suffer. You will have problems in this life. Think for just a moment what kind of spoiled brats we would be as God's children if we never had a problem. Oh, there would be a lot of people in church, right? Because if we could teach the world, "Hey, serve Jesus and you'll never have another problem." the churches would be packed, right? And we would all be devouring each other. We'd be fighting and clawing each other and hating each other. We'd have all this ungodliness in the body of Christ, because where do we really learn about things about God? It's in the valley. It's in the difficulties of life that we have to push in and learn. Now, I don't want to make this statement out of disrespect, but I've got to say it. There are those in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, that will teach you that if you have enough faith, you will not have problems. That God will bless every area of your life. You just have to have faith. I just came to tell you today, out of everything, every ounce of energy that I have, that is erroneous doctrine. I promise you this, no matter how much faith you have, you will have trouble.
That's right.
Thank you for your excitement. We have been taught since we were little guys that if you make the right decision, everything will be okay. That's not true. Many times you can make the right decision and it seems like all hell comes against you. Lord, I thought I was in your will. I thought I was doing right. And look at everything happening to me. Think of Joseph. Joseph had the dreams from God that this is what I want to do in your life. And what happened? All hell broke loose. For 13 years, it seemed like God had deserted him. Was at the end of his life when he said, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. Oh, if I could sow a seed in your life today, it would be, don't give up when you're down and out. That's when you need to push in a little harder. I borrowed these next few moments from the Josh McDowell Ministries. I don't know if you know Josh McDowell. He's wonderful. And I think it was his son maybe that taught this. It was Sean McDowell. But I'm going to give you 8 things that happened during suffering. And I encourage you, maybe you need to write this down and we'll move through it pretty quickly. First of all, suffering is a result of mankind's sin and rebellion against God. Read Genesis 3, right? Suffering, the age-old question, if God is good, why so many bad things happen? Because of sin. See, we were created to live in a perfect environment. We were created to live forever. And man sinned. And when sin came on the earth, it brought a big payday. And so if you hear me saying anything today, I hope that you don't hear, I won't say it, but sometimes we hear things that the preacher don't say. Don't hear this, that it's okay to live an ungodly life. That is not what I'm saying. If you live ungodly, you're going to bring some things in your life. I'm talking today, I'm talking about people that are godly, that are trying to do their best, that are still having difficulty. So suffering is a result of mankind's sin. Because Adam chose to reject God's command, the world became corrupted by sin. And humans from that day on have suffered. Number 2, God's chosen people suffered when they disobeyed the Mosaic covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You break God's law and you will suffer. You commit adultery, and I don't care how much positive confession you got in your life, you're going to bear some consequences of that one, buddy. Right? If you steal, you're going to break, you broke the law, you're going to bear, I don't care if you're a believer or not. You know, you steal, you break the law, there's a consequence to that. So God's chosen people, do you hear that? Do you know who God's chosen people are today? It's the church. It's still Israel, but it's the church too. We've been joined in with them. Number 3, people sometimes suffer for the wrong decision or the wrong choices of other human beings, even though God uses the resulting suffering for good. And the story there is the story of Joseph. Joseph did nothing wrong all through his life. You know, Joseph is one of the very few characters in the Bible that never made a mistake. And yet he suffered. It's amazing. Sort of like Jesus, right? Actually, they say he's one of the most perfect examples of Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, I used to think that my problems only affect me. And then really one day God let me see a verse. He says, be careful that the root of bitterness springing up in your root of bitterness will defile many. Not just you. In other words, my sin is going to affect that woman on the front row. And it's going to affect my children. And it's going to affect you. Because I have some influence over your life because you've given me that authority. Thank you. Your sin is also going to affect us. Have you ever been in church where someone broke the law and it comes out in the paper? One of your church members, front page. One of your church members, maybe it's a deacon, maybe it's, you know, Sunday school teacher, somebody well known. They've been caught embezzling, they're going to jail. Oh, that's a great day for the church. Hallelujah. You remember back in the 80s when some of the leaders of our churches fell, and it seems like, man, these leaders were just dropping, committing adultery, doing all kinds of things. Their sin didn't stop with them. Some people chose not to follow Jesus any longer because they had their eye on a man and not on Jesus Christ. And if you don't think people do that, you're wrong. I promise you, there are people looking at you, and your sin can affect others. The price is so much higher than what we think. Suffering brings believers, faithful believers, into a deeper understanding. Sort of like Job. Job didn't know why he was being picked on, right? And yet the end of his life was so much greater than the beginning of his life. And Job, his wife told him, said, Job, just curse God and die. And Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Now Job was not perfect with his mouth, but God rebuked him a little bit and then rewarded him a whole lot, right? Believers suffer as a testament of faith to others. Read Hebrews chapter 11. That's our anthem of the hall of faith, basically. But if you get, once you get past the leaders, it says something like this. Others died while hanging on to the promise of God. Some were sawn in two. They never received the promise here on earth, but they stood faithful. Oh, bless the Lord. I can remember one time when I began to try to preach that chapter and all I could do was cry. Because I thought, Lord, we're not worthy of people like that. Think about Stephen. Stephen was a man of God. He was one of the first deacons that the guys chose. And they all come together and they chose seven men that were godly, seven men that had a good report, seven men that knew how to walk in the Holy Ghost. And the next thing you see is Stephen is being stoned at the hand of Paul. And what happened after Stephen was stoned? The church went boom. I mean, we got to get out of Dodge. They're killing us now. But when they got out of Dodge, which Dodge was Jerusalem for them, they took the gospel. They took their faith. And all of a sudden, the faith that was in Jerusalem began to go to Judea and Samaria. And as the scripture said, to the uttermost parts of the world. Why? Because one man was faithful. One man stood up there and said, even when you stone me, I'm going to pray, God, forgive them for what they do. Whew. God allows people to suffer so they'll turn to him in repentance and not perish. It's an act of mercy. Number seven is Christians suffer so they can conform more closely to the character of Christ and know Him more fully. That's why James says, count it all joy. Man, that verse makes absolutely no sense. Hey, be happy. When you're going through the worst time of your life, be happy. And I'm going to show you today why you can be. Count it all joy. You know, we don't learn too much on the mountaintop. But when we get in the valley, when the doctor gives you a bad report, what do? You dig your heels in and you say, I shall not be moved. Right? Oh, Jesus, I'm counting on you. Number eight, the last one. Jesus allows us to go through suffering sometimes to prepare followers of Christ for the glory of heaven. Think about these words of Paul in 2 Corinthians. Now think about who is writing this. Paul is writing this. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18 of this chapter, he says, for I consider, think about what you're going through right now. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Those of you that are going through, I could call your name out. See, I know so many people that are right in the middle of the fire. And I know they're godly. I know they're good people that love Jesus, that trust Him. And they're going through the fire right now. And I come to tell you, what you're going through right now cannot compare to the glory that is ahead of us. So we know why we go through these difficulties. What should we do? What should our response be? When you're in the hardest battle of your life, folks, listen to me. What you do and what you say is critically important. Number one, you keep the faith and the hope. Keep the faith and the hope because you count it all joy. You see, Satan wants you to turn your eyes inward. All he wants you to see is how difficult life is right at this moment. But if you will look up, you can say with your soul, my Redeemer liveth. It might be rough right now, but glory is on its way. Do you believe that? I believe that. Glory is on its way. You know, he says, the whole creation, this just blows my mind. I know that I suffer because of Adam's nonsense. And I suffer because of my nonsense. And probably I'm suffering because of some of your nonsense. But it's amazing to think that the earth is groaning with the sinful conditions. Do you know we have more earthquakes right now than ever recorded in history? The last earthquake that happened off Australia sent a sonic boom around the earth, not once, but twice. I'm telling you, this earth is saying, Jesus, come back. Restore the goodness and the grace in this world. And I believe every believer is saying that too. Jesus, come again. The earth is groaning under this weight. It's amazing to think. He says, all creation. Next time you look at your dog, you say, I'm sorry. I know you feel the results of the sin of this household. Wow, isn't that an amazing thing? the deer in the forest, the birds in the air, all creation is groaning under the immense weight of the sin that we have allowed, of the decisions that we have made. He says this, I read my Bible, Jack Hayford. He says, the whole created universe has suffered the consequences of human sin, being subjected to decomposition, futility, and corruption. However, the process of deterioration is only temporary because God has provided hope of deliverance. I believe as you read through this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the second coming of Christ. The earth knows there's a new earth coming. This one's going to burn up and heaven's coming down. Isn't that amazing? Jerusalem coming down to earth. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Sandy sent me a dream that she had this week with a verse in it. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that really ministers to my heart. And then later on, about 2 or 3 days later, I felt like the Lord said that verse was for this sermon. And so it's Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. And it's David writing, after the Ark of the Covenant had been removed and stolen. They lost the Ark of the Covenant in a battle, and it was gone for a period of a few years. And David is bringing it home to Jerusalem. Maybe you didn't get that. The presence of God, revival was coming to the city. So when he says, lift up your head, O ye gates, he's talking about Jerusalem. He's saying, oh, the gates of this city ought to be rejoicing. Ooh, and that's, there is a day coming when Washington is going to rejoice in the Lord. Our politicians are going to make godly decisions. Psalms 24 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is our King of glory. Hallelujah! The King of glory is coming in. Praise the Lord. Oh, get that in your spirit. It may be rough right now, but the King of glory has promised he's coming. If that doesn't put a fire in you, your wood is really wet. You need to get in God's presence. He tells us some really specific things. He says creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Oh, this world, come on, get with me for a second. This world is looking at you. It's looking at me and saying, be true. Show us what godliness really is. Would you just be an example? I need an example of the kingdom of God. I need an example of what sons of God look like. Yesterday I heard a story. It broke my heart. Not this church, but another Pentecostal church where a woman married to a man and a man married to another woman inside the church had an affair for 25 years. Inside the church, they would pass notes. Inside the church, they would pass a note. Where do you want to meet this week? Why doesn't God judge that? I'm going to tell you, he's a lot more patient and kind than I am. I would strike him dead. You want to read a note? I got a note for you. Read Revelation, buddy. I'm going to bring judgment to the house of God. There's a lot of, you give me, there's a lot of nonsense that happens in the church, and all of creation is saying, show us, show us. Show us what God is like. Show us morality. Show us redemption. Creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. I'm taking these words right out of Scripture. To the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, number the third thing right here. He starts talking about this. We have the Spirit of God. Do you realize the Old Testament saints didn't have the Holy Ghost? Now, you may read the Old Testament and you say, Pastor, you better read that a little better. I'm telling you, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Not like you do. The Spirit of God was present. And the Spirit of God would move upon them, but He did not live in them. They did all the things that they did because the Spirit of God moved on them. Remember Samson? I know every one of us thinks Samson looks like Jay. Big old bull coming in the house. I think Samson probably looked more like Brother Thomas, a frail man. But when the Spirit of God come on him, he could pull a city down. He could chase, get 300 foxes and set their tails on fire. He could destroy a whole city by himself. It wasn't that weak little man, but when the Spirit of God come on him, do you realize you got the Spirit of God in you every day of your life? We are the first fruits of the Spirit. We're the first generation that's ever lived that had Pentecost in their souls. Man, I had no idea I was going to preach like this. I just thought I was going to get up and just quietly talk to you today. Tell you a few nice stories. 2 Corinthians, he said, who also has sealed us, and given us the Spirit in our hearts. Listen to these last three words. As a guarantee. You know, the old King James, he said it's the earnest of our deposit. You know, when I buy a house, to show them I'm earnest, I give some money. To show God to show you of the glory that is to come, said, I'm going to give you a deposit. And that deposit is the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Buddy, if He is just a deposit, what more is going to come? Woo, and you get that revelation, you'll shout. We also have hope. Hope is a confident expectation of something good is on its way. Something good is coming. The Holy Spirit of God, according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He has come alongside. So we don't boast about being strong. Matter of fact, Paul told us in Corinthians, boast of your weaknesses, not your strengths. Why? Because God is made strong in your weakness. But in the church of God today, we don't want to say that I'm weak. Why? Because we don't want others to see our humanity. God help us, humble us, so that people can see the strength of the Almighty God in you. He says this, oh man, the Spirit of God is making intercession for you. You know what that means? Intercession means somebody standing in the gap for you. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, the promises of God is in this chair. But I'm in this chair, and I can't seem to get it. there's a gap in my life for reaching the promise. And Jesus comes along, the Spirit of God comes along, and he says, I'll stand in your gap. And I'll lay hold of the promise of God, and I'll lay hold of you, and I will bring in the promises that God set for you. I heard another story just recently. A young man who was raised in church, I know this is factual. I've known them since they were born. A young man was raised in church, saved in church, baptized in the Holy Spirit. God done some great things in his life. But he had this strong desire as a young boy, 18. He just wanted to get out of the house. Sort of like a prodigal son. He wanted to go to New York City. He wanted to prove himself. He wanted to go to the best business school that there was. He wanted to declare. He had three majors: international business, economics, and something else. I forgot. I was just lucky to get out of school. I took a couple of those classes. Dear God, thanks for Tom. No. Boy is brilliant. But along that way, Satan got his claw in him. He began to drink. And as he drank, Satan got that claw in. And he took a righteous boy and made him very unrighteous. But he had a sister, has a sister that believed, it stood true to the promises of God. One day, the Holy Ghost woke her up in the middle of the night. Said, pray for your brother. Stand in the gap. This young boy went to a party in New York City with people that I could mention their name and you would know them. The big elite. Saw a pan of brownies and they looked delicious. He did, had no idea they were laced with drugs. Ate too many. Sick as a dog, he walked home. And when he walked home, he just fell on his bed, collapsed on his bed, sick as a dog. Meanwhile, he doesn't know it, but his sister's on her knees, interceding for him. Satan wanted to take him out that night. This boy had had some spiritual dreams in his life. That night, he had a dream. And in his dream, he had this turban on. He was standing behind the pulpit of a courtroom where Jesus was the judge. He was filthy from head to toe. He was filthy. He couldn't even look Christ in the eyes. He said, every time I look at him, I just had to bow my head. I knew I wasn't right. And the demons were over here. They began to scream and holler. He's ours. He's ours. He belongs to us. And you know it. You know the rules, Jesus. He's ours. He said over and over, they were screaming. And he said, Jesus finally spoke. And he said, you're right. What you're saying is correct. He is yours. But there's a girl over here praying for his soul. And her prayers outweigh you. That boy lived to see another day. He's in rehab right now. You ought to pray for him. I'm not going to give you a name, but you ought to pray for him. Because there's many like him. But see, the only reason I tell you that story is because you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand that when you pray, it changes things. Could you even catch this? That boy should have died that night. If she hadn't got out of bed in the middle of the night and prayed, he'd be dead and in hell tonight. That dream was from heaven, folks. When you pray for others, I want you to know God hears you. Intercession is great. It's one of the most mighty things that's going on. And to know that the Spirit of God is praying for you. He knows the mind of God. He knows the perfect will. And he has taken your name before the throne of God. Oh, doesn't that give you hope? Says the expression that says with groanings which cannot be uttered does not mean that he's silent. But there's no words there. I don't know if you've ever had a moment in time when you were praying that you couldn't get words out. It hadn't happened many times in my life. But once in a while, you have such a moment where you know that you have hooked up to heaven. And something happens and this groan comes out of you. Like, I don't know what I'm doing right now, but you're travailing. Just like a woman getting ready to give birth. You're bringing something out of the spiritual world into the physical. You're getting ready to give birth. Oh, pray, church. Pray. Come on. Can we not go a little deeper with Christ? If what I just explained to you, you think I'm weird, you're weird. Because it ought to happen to you. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He's praying for us. The last thing I want to end with, have hope. Have that confident expectation. You know, Connie Stalls has been going through a difficult time, making her question everything. She fell off a ladder and broke her arm. She had a job here in Paris, was moving back, sold her house. Everything fell through. Everything. She broke her arm. She couldn't start to work. Her house had a little bit of a legal battle. It fell through. The people that were going to buy it, they were given $20,000 over the asking price, backed out. This is a widow. A lady that I've known most of my life, that if there's a lady that trusts God, that loves Jesus with all her heart, she is it. But I'm telling you, for the last month, the last 2 months, she's gone through hell. She's called us on a few occasions, and you can hear the breaking of her voice. You can tell that she is saying, I don't know what's going on. I thought I was doing right, but man, I am way out here. I've been there. I know the feelings. I know what it's like when you're trying to make the best decisions and depend on God and all hell breaks loose against you. You just need somebody to come alongside and say, keep the hope. God is working for your good. See, that's the way this passage ends. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? God works all things. Not some things, not a few things, all things for your good. Those that are called by God, those that love Him. Woo! I'm going to stop myself. There was a time in my life I thought I was losing my mind. I'd wake up every morning 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep over 4 hours. I need my 8. I appreciate you that go by 6, but I need my 8. I was mentally exhausted. I was physically exhausted. Treva said I couldn't even get my eyes. They just moved constantly. I was falling apart, but I knew something. I knew Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed upon them. Oh, I knew the word. And I quoted it and I quoted it and I quoted it and I quoted it. Sometimes before I got out of bed, I might say it 30 or 40 times. thou wilt give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Buddy, I was in the battle of my life. Treva, I'm sure, thought her husband was losing it. Her husband was losing it. Actually, he lost it. Thank you, Jesus. He took that and he turned it around to those who are called. Do you realize that I am not the only called man in this church? Come on. You look at me and you say, that pastor's called by God. I look at you and say, that man, that woman is called by God. You may not be called to pastor a church, but you are called. God called you into this kingdom for a specific purpose. Read Ephesians 2:10. You are his workmanship. Some of the version says his masterpiece, which God created for good works before you come along. God had a plan for your life. Oh, don't ever lose hope. Do you know how many people you work with? They hadn't hoped in years. They're just struggling to get through the day. They're on so much medicine. They're just sedating themselves just to get through the day. And you know what? You got the answer. Come on. It can't be this simple. Come on. Are you telling me that every problem that I ever have in life, Jesus is the answer?
Amen.
Yes, I am telling you that. Pastor, you don't know. I did it to myself. Who of us haven't done it to ourselves? Pastor, you don't realize I smoked for 30 years. That's why. Oh, thank God for his grace. I've ate double cheeseburgers for 50. So that ain't no joke, Pastor. We see that. Can we go back to verse 18? For I consider that the suffering, put your name there. For I consider that the suffering Eric is going through at this present time is not worthy to be compared, which the glory shall reveal in Eric. Hallelujah. Tina Vine, I know some of your struggles. And I think God brought you here today. I mean that. You want to say something? Right in the middle of my sermon? Girl, I rebuke you. And just, yeah.
No, I never do this. Early in the sermon, as he's saying, if you live for God, you're going to suffer. You're going to have trouble. I feel like some are saying, well, if I'm going to have trouble, forget it. It's not worth it. I'll just go ahead and live my life and enjoy it and do what I want to do. And if I'm going to have suffering, it's not worth it. I want to tell you, you'll still have suffering. If you live your own life and you go your own way, you will still suffer.
That's right.
You just won't have the Lord of hosts and the King of glory and the mighty God who fights in your battles. You won't have him helping you. So don't sit there and say, I'm just going to do my own thing because I'm going to have trouble either way. Or I'm going to have trouble if I serve Jesus. Yeah, you will. You'll still have it if you serve it, you live your life your own way.
Amen. I preach like a fool. She stands up and says one word and you clap for her. Life is not fair, I'm telling you. I have laid it all on the altar today. I've got one more point. We're never without hope. Never. You're never without hope. See, we have a promise. It's one of the greatest promises in the Word of God, and it's from Jesus Himself. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, I pray that the Father, He'll give you another helper. That means one of the same kind, just like me. He's going to give you a helper, and that He will abide with you forever. One of the names of the Holy Ghost is Helper. One of the names of the Holy Ghost is Comforter. And one of the names of the Holy Ghost in Greek is called Parakletos. Parakletos is mean one who's got your back. One who's got your back. You realize you got a target on your back when you said yes to Jesus. The devil wants to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. But the Holy Ghost has got your back. Literally, the word picture here would be in the Roman army would fight back to back. So if Courtney and I are both Roman soldiers, I would fight this way. Courtney would line up right to my back so nobody could attack my backside, and I'd have his back. That's the Holy Ghost. Courtney would be my Holy Ghost. I would be his Holy Ghost. You realize that? Do you realize you're stronger than what you think? Do you realize He said, His promise, I'll turn it. I'll turn bad into good. Joseph said, what you meant for bad, He made good. Oh, golly. Job went through the fire like no other man alive. But the end of his life, God blessed him with double. Everything was doubled in his life. Gave him 7 more boys and 3 more girls, which is exactly... Some people will say, well, he didn't double his children. Yes, he did, because we're eternal beings. The ones that died were in heaven, and there he gave him the same amount here on earth. You don't stop living, ever. You're going to live somewhere for the... Not for the rest of your life, you're going to live somewhere forever. Here's my altar call. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to breathe hope into you. It's as simple as that. If you're one of those, make your way to this altar. I'm not going to lay my hands on you. It's going to be a work that God does. Okay? Trevor, you want to come and play? That's it, folks. Stand up. You know if that's you. Do you need God to breathe a little hope in you today? Hallelujah. Just gather down here. We'll say one prayer at the end. You deserve the glory and the honor. Sing it, tree.
Lord, we
lift our hands in worship
as we magnify your name.
You deserve the glory. Yes, we do, Lord.
There is no
say one more thing that I believe the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to me. I want to talk to those that are watching us by Facebook. I want you to do something. If you're watching us today and this is ministered to you, I want you to stand. Wherever you're watching this, I want you to stand. And it's an element of faith where you're saying, I'm responding to that altar call. Stand in your living room, stand in your bedroom, wherever you have to, just stand and tell God, Lord, I need the hope. Breathe back into me. If you're here today, and I didn't say much, but you're here today and you just feel helpless, you're not helpless. You just need to get in this altar call. Because God's getting ready to breathe out on you. Jesus, I come before you right now. Lord, I have not even looked at who responded to this. I haven't even seen their faces, God. It's not my business. It's your business. But I am asking you, Lord Jesus, to do something mighty today. I pray that the Holy Ghost, let the wind of heaven breathe down in this place. We lift our eyes to you. We say, King of glory, come into this place. Infuse hope and life. Make a deposit in each one of these folks. God, we are never hopeless. We are dependent upon the mighty hand of God. I thank you, you're greater. You're greater than any battle I'll ever face. You're greater than the doctor's report. You're greater than what the banker says. You're greater, God. In my weakness, be made strong today. Spirit of God, touch and flow through this place. Let the breath of God flow from heaven down here. Infuse us with your hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I call our sons and our daughters saved in the name of God. I call those prodigals, I call them in by the grace of God. I speak to the north and I speak to the south. I speak to the east and I speak to the west. And I say, give it up. Give it up. We're calling them home. We call them to repentance. We call them back into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Infuse us with hope. Oh, that confident expectation. So that we can say, as Paul said, oh, this light affliction is not to be compared with the glory of God, which is about to come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring the glory of God into this church, into our lives. May our lives be reflective of the power of God. Jesus' precious name, we pray and we believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Didi.
It's like he was saying, we all go through suffering at different times. But the wonderful thing is we have the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, but we have brothers and sisters as well. We have the family of God to support one another and to help one another. That's what's so wonderful about us. We don't have to do this on our own, right? We have a pastor. We have deacons. We have a youth pastor. We have brothers and sisters. If you look to your left and to your right, I can guarantee you at least one of those people care about you. So you don't have to go through this alone. Let somebody come alongside you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget March 12th and 13th. We got a lot going that weekend, so keep that on your calendar. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.